Friend, please help Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry by supporting the cost to produce Spirit-Filled Radio and Podcast for this current fiscal year. You can become a partner with Spirit-Filled Hearts by donating monthly. Your contributions make a difference in the lives of all those who listen to our radio shows and podcasts. Thank you for your support. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click on the donate button. That's spiritfilledhearts.org.
Welcome to Recovering God's Miracles on Spirit-Filled Radio. On this show, we talk about breaking the chains of addictive behaviors and receiving the healing power of Jesus in restoring you to an abundant life. Get ready for some inspiring testimonies of those who have found themselves in some very dark places, but then to a point of recovery through Christ.
Welcome to Recovering God's Miracles on SpiritFilledRadio.org, which is available on an app now, so you can get 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, solid religious background, recovery on living with life and faith, and it's a wonderful app, and you can't beat the price, so take a look at it on your app store. So Recovering God's Miracles is about the stories of people that have been lost in addiction one way or the other and have gone into recovery, and some of them have made it. Most of them have made it in through recovery, but a lot of people haven't. And unfortunately, if you have an addiction, there's only three roads to go down. One, you get clean and get squared away. Two, you go to jail. Or three, you die. And what our program, Recovering God's Miracles, is about hope, and it's about help. It's about help is on the way, which is what Mercy Me opened the show with. So we thank them for that. So Recovering God's Miracles is a brainchild of Deacon Greco's, and he brought that to us. A lot about recovery is about forgiveness and forgiving ourselves, because that's a tough thing to do, because many guys who can't get into recovery cannot forgive themselves for their past. And in Deacon Greco's book, Miracles Through Forgiveness, he said that the Catholic definition of miracles is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. There is a close relationship between forgiveness, healing, and miracles. And as far as an addict is concerned, who's an addict? I think Jeff Foxworthy says it well, and he asks the question, if one's too many and 1,000 aren't enough, you just might be an addict, and that is me for sure. So normally when we have guests, we have Greg today, and he's going to share his experience with us. And he's going to talk about the recovery that he's seen in his life and that he's seen in the lives of many other men who have come into recovery. So as we always do, I'm going to open up with the serenity prayer, which is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I can't change the past. I can't change the truth. And I can't change anybody else. The courage to change the things I can only change me, my attitudes, and my opinions. And the wisdom to know the difference. So without any further introduction, I'm going to introduce to somebody who needs no introduction around here. And our friend Greg is going to share with us his experience, strength, and hope in his life. So, Greg, thank you. Welcome to the program. Great to have you.
Appreciate it, Bill. Appreciate you having me. And, you know, it's always an honor to be able to be considered one of the, up to this point, successes. And being able to hopefully have something in common with somebody who's listening is of course the point. And having somebody identify with what we've been through and what's going on with us and how it occurred. It doesn't always go in chronological order, because a lot of what I found out about myself came after numerous years of being sober. A lot of my own identity and my own self didn't come to light and come into my understanding until I was quite a few years sober. So I will start by saying this. I had a lot of tendencies way before as a child that had we that forethought or that foresight and been able to see these things, we might have known. And one of them is that even as a child, I never could have enough. I always wanted more. It was, yeah, you know,
I get it.
I, I had a blessed life. I had my parents, they loved me. I had a great upbringing. You know, my dad was a minister. My mom was a teacher, and they provided for my sisters and I very well. And they worked very hard at giving us a good life and a good home and everything else. And so, you know, people go, well, golly, what happened? I mean, how come, you know, you didn't have this horrible upbringing? And well, that's not how this works. The way it works is that I was born and the way that my brain works and the way that I felt and thought about things was a little bit different than everybody else. And so when alcohol was introduced into my life, then I was off to the races because it affected me differently than other people also. As I said, I had a great childhood. I love my parents. I looked up to my dad. They did a great job. They were very nurturing and very supportive, whether I did good or bad. And, you know, that would, you would think that would be a way of helping somebody. Yeah. But the way, as it turned out, you know, once I started drinking, I drank over successes and failures.
Right.
So figure it was completely opposite of the way that I was raised. All I know is that when alcohol was introduced into my life and I started drinking, I enjoyed it. I once heard a movie star who has been sober now for 22 years. I just read this the other day, and they described it as that first dip into a bath at the end of a very long day and that feeling of warmth. And just, you just kind of slide in and it just makes you feel good. That's what this did for me. It put me in that warm, fuzzy feeling. And that's the way I drank for the next 30 years of my life was I wasn't a blackout drinker. I wasn't a weekend drinker. I drank all the time. I wanted that warm, fuzzy feeling all the time.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's not the way our society works. And it's not socially acceptable to be drinking during your work day and to coming into work and, you know, smelling of the night before and everything else. So it gets worse. It explains it to us in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that it's a progressive disease. It gets worse. It gets worse. It gets worse. And that was certainly my story. It did get worse. And it got to the point where, you know, where it affected my life. It affected where I was living and hurt. No longer living. It affected my job. I remember the first job I had that I actually drank myself out of that job. I was with a very good company. I'd been there for 7 years and it got to that point, you know, and finally somebody said, you need to do something about this. And I did. And it, of course, it was the other reasons, not mine. It was the other reasons. It was the other people in my life saying, basically, you're a mess. You don't see this and we do, and you should get some help. And I did. And I went somewhere. I went for a treatment program where you went in van loads to a meeting every other night and you went to, you know, group counseling, but that was it. And it was really just staying sober out of necessity of having somewhere to live. It wasn't, I wasn't doing it 'cause I wanted to. I didn't think it was cool. It wasn't a goal in life to go to rehab. So I did that. And, you know, in the meantime, as I said, it got worse. And when it gets worse, your consequences become worse. And so run-ins with the law became a little more often. And a few other of those bad consequences came into play. And about 6 or 7 years later, I turned around and I did it all over again. And I went back into rehab one more time because I didn't stay sober the first time. And because I did so well at this original program, I went right back to the same program. I did it all over again. I stayed sober a little bit longer, about 10 months. But, you know, once again, where I left off was right where I ended up. I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't get into the 12-step program. I didn't know where there were meetings. I didn't have any support. And I went and I thought I could do this all on my own. And so there I was. Now I replaced drugs and alcohol with work.
Right.
As many alcoholics do. And I worked and I worked and I worked and I had the best job, the best paying job that I had ever in my life up to this point. And I was making a bunch of money and I was working overtime and I was working 6 days a week and holy cow. But then as soon as I had time off and got back to a semi-regular schedule, why I needed to be rewarded. And my way of rewarding myself is not through feeling good about the way things are. It was about altering my body and my thought process and my feelings, and that involves alcohol. So off and running, I went. And how fast everything goes away when it takes you months and months and months and months and months and a year or more years or whatever to work up to getting and having an apartment and having it furnished and having all these things in your life and getting back to some sort of normalcy. And then all of a sudden it's gone in 30 days.
Right. Throw it away.
And unbelievable, you know, that all of a sudden I was right back in the same thing. And sure enough, you know, the what it says in that book about it being a progressive disease is certainly true. And there I was. And so the boring part is what happened. The boring part is what everybody knows happened. Like you said, Bill, we know what happens. You either get sober and you get into recovery, or you end up in jail or prison, or you end up buried.
And
I certainly didn't want to end up buried. I enjoy life. I enjoy being around people, and that was part of me, and that's part of the way I am. But I didn't have any understanding of why I was doing what I was doing. And so another, you know, I don't know how many years went by, and finally, and this was my magical moment, was when my dad came to me and he handed me a phone number. And at the time he was 76 years old. And he said, here, call these people. They might be able to help you stay alive a little bit longer. He didn't say they were going to save me. But at that point, he thought that at 76 years old, he was going to outlive me.
Yeah.
And that was frightening. That's frightening.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I wanted to cry. But at that point in time, I was in a different galaxy. And I couldn't even cry because I was so out of it and I was so just beat up. And it took me another 30 days before I finally made that call and called that phone number and got myself into a program. And at least this time it was a program where somebody explained to me that the 12 steps were involved and going to a meeting and getting a sponsor was involved. And that was obviously a huge part. And that was a long time ago. That was 10 and a half years ago.
Yeah. Great story, Greg. Thank you for sharing that miracle mile, that miracle session and that spiritual happening. And that's what it takes us. And that's a great recollection. And I've heard of folks having that spiritual awakening and taking years to get. That's what it did for me. It took me 20 years to get back in. Thank you, folks, for joining us. You're listening to Recovering God's Miracles on SpiritFilledRadio.org. You have a wonderful app available in your app store, free. Download it. You have great music, great sharing and stories all day long. Today, we're speaking to Greg, who took a while. If he got in before he was 55, he beat me. So whatever you're doing, you always know you beat Big Bill. However, nobody keeps score other than the day one that we got in. And then all of a sudden, things started changing. So talk to us, Greg, a little bit about the things that started changing for you once you came in.
Well, it took a while. As I said, I was on another planet. I was so out of sorts that I don't even remember really my first 30 days or so of sobriety. I mean, it's very hard to recollect, although I have these certain little moments that I do remember. You know, thank goodness that there was this place where I was able to go. And it's not for everybody. There are different programs that reach different people in different ways. And I hope everybody finds that one, you know, that whatever it is, it's going to help them. Some of them are faith-based and some of them are 12-step based and some of them. But you know what? The important thing is that you just find something that is going to help you and help you understand what was going on. For me personally, going through the 12 steps and having to sit down with another man, another human being, and writing out and talking out loud about all of my faults and all of those things, like you were talking about earlier in your introduction, Bill, which was, you know, forgiveness and forgiving ourselves. And I thought that I was carrying so much pain and shame and guilt and everything else and fear that I thought it was up to everybody else to forgive me. that, right. that I was going to have to walk around asking for forgiveness from everybody that I had ever known, when that's not the case at all. The reality of it is as long as I can forgive myself, then I can move forward and try to become a better person on a daily basis. But I didn't know that. So I had this awesome 12-step sponsor. He was my sponsor for my first 3 years. And he, after that, he relapsed and he died.
Is that right? Wow.
And what a eye-opener that was.
Yeah.
That we connected so well, and he explained things that I didn't know about in a way that I totally, it was a complete and total God thing that he was put into my life, because right. I'd never had anybody talk to me about this stuff. I'd never had anybody explain this stuff. I was always just told, you have a problem and you need to do something about it, and, you know, shame on you. But here are some of the things that have occurred since getting sober that, see, I used to tell people that my life was this snowball rolling downhill, and it was not a pretty white snowball. It was a big, ugly snowball. It was dirty. It was muddy. It had rocks and sticks. Right. And what has occurred was when I got sober, that snowball ended up in just a flake. And then, then it continued down that hill, but now it's picking up the good stuff. And it is white and it is brown.
Yeah.
And when it picks up a rock or a stick, it usually flicks them off.
Yeah.
And remains a really nice snowball, because I have those tools. I have the understanding that I'm not a horrible person. I have the understanding that God is in my life again, and that as long as I'm okay, then everything else is going to be okay. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It matters what I'm doing. And so I got to start having this balance in my life that I didn't have before. See, before there was no balance. It was all weighed on alcohol, period. Right. That was first and foremost. And it was the first in line. It was the last in line. And it was everything in between. And people didn't matter. Jobs didn't matter. My character didn't matter. Nothing else mattered other than that getting loaded on a daily basis. Well, all of a sudden I became re-involved with my church. I got to start helping other people, because that's what we're here to do. I mean, come on, every lesson that I ever remember hearing in Sunday school is based on treating other people the way you want to be treated. I want to be treated nice. I'm going to treat people nice.
Simple golden rule. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Golden rule. And, you know, all the stories that I learned as a child in Sunday school were of Jesus helping people, people helping other people. And so I came to understand that that's what this is all about.
Right. You made a point earlier. I'd just like to reemphasize and give you a chance to take a hit on that coffee. You said earlier it took you a long time to amass the wonderful things in life, but when you started drinking, they disappeared overnight. So I have heard early on that whatever we put in front of God, he'll take away. However, when we put God in front of everything else, he sends it back. I think you alluded to that, and I love the analogy of the snowball. So you're not a dung beetle pushing that big roll of dung down the road. You all of a sudden Frosty the Snowman and down the. So it's a those are two very vivid analogies, right on track. Welcome, and again, thank you for listening to Recovering God's Miracles on SpiritFilledRadio.org, available in your app store in an app. We're talking to Greg today, and he's sharing some great parts of his story where he had amassed many, many things, but he had put all of those things in front of God, and God removed those rapidly. But when he got into the program of recovery, all of a sudden those things started coming back. So go on a little bit about that, Greg, and then where you are today, what you're doing today to witness this information. Preach the gospel, and when you need to, use words, and you preach it well. I've watched that, and you haven't said a lot, but your example has said a lot. So talk a little bit about how you're helping the man and the woman in recovery today.
Well, part of what has happened is I'm a big believer in balance in someone's life. if I'm doing the right thing and I'm taking care of myself, that's part of the pie. That's a slice of the pie, is my own recovery and my own personal well-being. Being involved with my church is a big part of a slice of my pie. You know, being there for my mom and my sisters is part of my, you know, family, work, and then my own just personal life that really doesn't have anything to do with any of them. That's when I'm standing out in a stream with a fly rod in my right. hand. And I'm not thinking about anything other than what a beautiful world we live in. So this balance occurred because I decided I'm somewhere along the lines I was able to make the decision that I'm worth it. And we're all children of God, and we all deserve usually better than we give ourselves. And I wasn't doing that. I was treating myself horribly. And so when I got into recovery and it stuck, and I had an inkling that this might just be the way to go and everything, and I traded 25 years in the construction industry for working at the same facility that I went to for treatment, and I started helping people. And I started saying yes when people asked me things. And I became, I didn't just become a member of my church again, I became an active member of my church. And it's pretty crazy when your pastor calls you up and says, hey, we have somebody in the congregation that might, I think you would be a good person for them to talk to. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, that's not where I was at a year or two or three or whatever it was previous. And, you know, I was able to do that once or twice. Right. And it was pretty amazing. The fact that my dad was the pastor at this particular church for 9 years before he went on to the bishop's office. You know, I had a long history at this church. I'd been going there since I was a little kid when we were friends with the original pastor and his family. And so I had this history. And then along came a celebration and they said, hey, would you come and speak, be one of the people who share at its 60th anniversary of the church. And I'm thinking, you know, 2-3 years ago, I was right. scared to death of getting in front of people and even speaking in front of people. Right. I was that kid who didn't like doing oral presentations in school because I was embarrassed. I felt poor about myself. I had low self-esteem and I was scared to death. But the way that it was reintroduced into my life, and this is a good part of this story, and it's part of the way that God works in mysterious ways, was the very first meeting I was ever asked to share at ended up falling on a holiday and a rainy night, and one person showed up. And so it was right. me, it was me, the chairperson, and one other person, and I went, okay, I can handle this.
There you go.
Wasn't you know, and the, old, yeah. and the old Yeah, and the old saying is God doesn't give us any more than we can ever handle.
Right.
And usually we can handle a lot more than we understand. But at that point in time, and slowly but surely, as I shared at meetings, the crowds got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now all of a sudden, here I am 3 years into sobriety, and I'm asked to speak in front of 150 people who I respect.
Right.
These are people that I thought were all, you know, they're churchgoers.
Right.
These are the people who I think have been on the right side of everything. But I tend to forget that nobody's perfect, that we all have our problems and our dealings with all sorts of things. And I don't know. Anyway, each time I get through one of these moments, it strengthens my faith.
Right.
And I think, and you know, there's a part in this program that says faith without works is dead. Well, I believe that I can't do most of this work without my faith.
Right.
I have to have faith in my higher power, which is God, that I'm going to be okay. My faith grew because of being sober. Because of being faithful, my sobriety grew. And so it grew exponentially on both sides of things, that one fed the other. And, you know, it just got better and better and better and better over the years. And so, you know, as long as I kept saying yes, you know, I'm still a property manager for our church today. I still go there like 3 times a week and check in with the front office and say, you know, what do we got to fix? What needs to be done?
Right. Service.
that's how I stay involved, and that's how I continue being part of and being of service to who I need to be of service to.
It seems like whoever we need to have in our life, God sends them.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we get to give, and sometimes we get to receive.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, man, I have received. It's so hard to understand sometimes, or to explain, I should say, because it's not always explainable. But that faith, having that faith, sitting down with somebody when you're a week sober and you're hating life and you feel like garbage and you think that this is totally impossible to do, but having that faith and remembering this person sitting with you is evidence. And for those of us who need that evidence, you know, there they are. And there's millions and millions and millions of people worldwide from different cultures, from different religions, every country and continent in the world. People are recovering and they're getting sober and they're staying sober. And it's all based on this one concept of service to others. And I hate to be master of the obvious here, but the lessons in the big book and the lessons in the Bible are practically identical.
Right. Hand in hand. And we thought that often, that for every step, there is a gospel verse. And for every gospel verse, there is a step, because everybody tries to teach the same thing. And a lot of it's about service, which you know all about, and turning our will and life over to the care of God as we understand him. And something that's become evident, I've heard more and more often people quoting, is the third step prayer, which is, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life.
Yep.
It sounds like when you give, you said you receive more. It seems like there's a 10-to-1 return on investment, at least. I have received so much in the program since I came in, and my sponsor was a guy I met in the courtyard. I was wandering around out there. I knew I needed a sponsor, and this guy named Joe came up, and we started talking, and he was 42 years old with 20 years of sobriety. So I thought, maybe the guy knows something, and he sure did. He took me down the road for the first year, and then he moved to take care of his mom on the West Coast, but we still stay in touch, so there's always that person there right around the corner when we really got to have them. Thank you, folks, for joining us on Recovering God's Miracles on SpiritFilledRadio.org, available in an app in your app store. So please go on and get it and get 24 hours of wonderful godness around the clock. Today, our guest is Greg, and he's spoken a lot about balance and a lot about receiving the gifts of God, and things that we put in front of God, which he took away, are beginning to come back and probably tenfold stronger than when we lost them. So it's a great, great share today from Greg. And talk to us about your key success tools that are in your toolbox that you can go to when you're living in the world and dealing with a lot of the baloney that happens out there. So
listen, today it's pretty simple. I try to be a better person than I was yesterday. I try to remember to listen to the people around me. I remember that I can ask for help from a lot of different people all the time. And if I keep doing that, then I'm probably going to end up okay. I never ask for help, and I love asking for help. Whether it's in my training to go do a Grand Canyon hike, which has been another payoff,
right,
or whatever it is.
Right. You know, sponsoring tape. Great summary, buddy. I really appreciate it. And I do know this one thing. I would love to have Greg too down the road, because there's still so much that I'd love to hear from you. And I know our audience would as well. So I want to thank you, Greg, for being on Recovering God's Miracles on SpiritFilledRadio.org. And I will see you shortly, my friend. Again, I thought your summary was right on track, is giving to people, not asking for anything, and waiting for God's glory and balance. I think that's a great summary. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Take care now.
listening to Recovering God's Miracles on Spirit-Filled Radio. For more resources, come find us at spiritfilledmedia.org. That's spiritfilledmedia.org. Words of inspiration from Deacon Steve Greco, the founder and president of Spirit-Filled Radio.
Some theologians believe that you'll be asked one question when you get to heaven. The one question is, who did you bring with you? Who did you bring with you?
For more, come find us at spiritfilledmedia.org. That's spiritfilledmedia.org.
If you're enjoying these podcasts, please consider supporting Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry with a one-time or monthly gift. Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are only funded by generous donors who believe in our mission to evangelize.